Well, our scripture this morning, fairly short in a sense.
So if you want to read along, Ephesians 5:21. Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's part of the premarital counseling that I give couples. And then, indeed, we do go on, because conveniently, if you looked at a pew Bible, and perhaps in yours as well, there's a handy little thing that says wives and husbands. So figure we're on track with that. But sometimes it seems that we get caught up with that word submit, and in thinking of marriage, we read verse 22, and that's about it. We read, wives, submit to your husbands, and there you go, that's marriage. It's much, much more than that. And just a little sidebar here is we've got to remember when these scriptures were written, they did not put chapter and verse down. You know, Paul didn't sit there and think, oh, should this be in the next verse or not? You know, he just wrote a narrative. He just kept going. And I think some people have done a very excellent job of putting chapter and verse to things. It helps me memorize things or know where things are at. So it's a good thing, but it also kind of separates some things for us. Sometimes we think, now we're talking about husbands and wives here. Everything before that, so that's other people. Now we know what's going on. For me, verse 21 goes in with the rest, all right? Submit to each other. And if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty of man and wife, husband and wife, I've always thought the onus was really on the guy. You know, wives, submit to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We just sang in Church's One Foundation, what did he do? What did Christ do for his bride? He died. And so, yeah, it's sometimes a little bit of eye-opening for a guy when I'm, you know, in a counseling session, and oh. So there's a little bit of giving as well. Yeah, giving so much that you're willing to die. How about that? Well, we're not going to just focus completely upon the marriage of husband and wife. But I see a marriage coming up, and I thought perhaps you all should be aware of what's expected out of this marriage. Because with a new pastor coming in and a congregation, there's a marriage that takes place. And people say, well, it's not exactly a marriage. Well, then why do people keep talking about the honeymoon period that takes place? For me, there's not much of a honeymoon unless there's a marriage. So there's a coming together that's going to take place. And some may say, well, who's the husband, who's the wife? Verse 21 says, submit to each other. And so I don't think we need to have any specific titles given to the characters involved, because it's Christ's church. It's not your church. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's not anybody's churches but Christ. So Christ should remain the head. Christ should remain the head at all times. It's this submitting to one another that gets a little bit tough, I think, sometimes. And so maybe jumping back and forth a little bit between what I tell couples and what I feel led to help you think about. Because when we get into a premarital session, you know, we try to think, well, what are you looking for? And one of the activities I have is for the couples to write down 20 expectations they have of their spouse coming into marriage. Oh, we don't have any expectations. Whoa, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And so, what are these expectations? I took the liberty of writing some down that people have shared. And again, I think I appreciate that these folks have given thought to it and shared a little bit of themselves, put some warnings out there, in a sense, and so things to talk about. And so these are just random things that people have put down. You'll probably be able to tell whether it's the male or the female, you know, on some of these. But I've tried to intersperse them a little bit. Share plans. I expect you to share plans with me, not just to have plans thrust upon me. Help with household chores. I expect you to help me shop. I expect you to talk. Some of you are guessing. Yeah. See, you got to put it in print there. Listen to me and my thoughts. Yeah, we had that movie, and there's one part of it where the wife asks me, you know, I want you to come here and let me share my feelings with you. Oh. Yeah, there's a invitation. Wear your ring was an expectation. Tell me how to do things differently in a kind way. I expect you to respect my decisions. I expect you to be responsible for your actions. I expect you to respect our property. I expect you to take care of me when I'm sick. I expect to have family meals. You know, not just hither and yon. I expect you to say what's on your mind. Guesses on that one? That was a male talking to a female. I expect you to shut the cupboard doors. I expect you to stand by my side. I expect you to be involved in church. I expect you to look out for my spiritual well-being. And a little endorsement here. This was an actual request. It said, I expect you to go to Monday morning breakfast at New Providence with me. I expect you to place me second after God. That was always an interesting one, one that was unique. And I expect you to clean up after yourself. It was a himself. I expect you to clean up after yourself. So, those are expectations. You know, and we have them. And you have some for a new pastor coming in. Oh, yes, you do. And I tell the couples, you need to communicate. If you have these expectations, communicate them. Too many times our vision gets a little muddled through novels, perhaps, or television programs, or movies, or watching some other couple thinking, oh, man, if I could just, well, you don't. So you need to be realistic. And saying this with all sincerity, I tell them, you have a picture in your mind, this beautiful picture of a perfect husband or a perfect wife. You have this expectation of them. Almost all of us do when we're going into marriage. We have this is the way he's going to be. This is the way she's going to be. And I tell them, if you have that picture, tear it up, or you'll tear up the person. Tear up the picture, or you'll tear up the person. Because nobody is like that. Only if they've got a script and it's Hollywood and it's going to come to an end. And unfortunately, they write happily ever after, but we never get to see what that is. Because happiness isn't always, happiness is getting through tough situations together. Happiness is working side by side. Happiness is loving one another, good times and bad. That's why we put those better for worse things in there. So, something to think about with your expectations of a pastor. You got a picture? I'm encouraging you to tear that up and look to the person that's there. You know, we talked about it some weeks ago. This is going to be another good chapter in the life of Bangor Liberty Friends Church. It's not the end all. It's not the perfect. It is going toward perfection. I used to get hung up with that when I read it in Scripture. It says, be ye perfect as I am perfect. I thought, I got to do that today. It says, keep working toward it. Make that your focus and your goal and get yourself there. So that's not, as soon as the pastor gets perfect, then I'll get perfect. No, it says, you start the process. You do this stuff. So our expectations can get influenced by lots of stuff. Like I said, what we read, what we see, what we hear in music, something like that. You know, I am starting to think, if I'm going to go to Walmart, I'm going to go to Altoona Walmart. Because they have started a new program that I am all for. If you take a shopping cart and you take it to your car and unload your stuff, and then you take it to that rack where you, you know, put them all so that someone can get them, there is a free Reese's Peanut Butter Cup bar there for you when you get there. I'm expecting that because that's what I saw the last time I was at Altoona putting my cart away. I put my stuff in my car, I take my cart down there, and I grabbed another one just to let you know how good I am. And I grabbed two of them and I put them up there, and there's the Reese's Peanut Butter bar right there. And I thought, wow, isn't that great? And I'm expecting, too, anytime I go to Casey's, I'm going to see Scott Davis there. Because the last two times I've gone to Casey's to get a donut, Scott Davis has been there. Once in Marshalltown and once at State Center. I expect that now. Falsely. Just because it happened once or twice doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time. Just because a person does something right once or twice doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time. Just because somebody says something correctly once or twice doesn't mean it's going to happen all the time. Just because somebody says something wrong once or twice doesn't mean it's always going to happen. So our expectations have to be tempered with the fact that we're dealing with human beings. Very much like us, very prone to thinking of themselves perhaps sometimes, because that's me. So, expectations. The strongest thing that I try to get across to couples is communication. People, a lot of times, can indicate what has happened in a relationship that went bad, but it always, for me, kind of breaks down to we forgot to talk about it. Finances. Things got out of hand. Well, did they talk about it? Other things. The education for their kids or how they handle something. Comes back to communication. So we need to talk. And it's kind of come up in our own personal lives. We're trying to figure out how to talk to some people now. Because the one that always killed me was, well, here's my email address. I never check it, but here's my email address. Oh, why give it to me? If that isn't the line of communication, I don't need that. How do I talk to you? Because now some of you perhaps have different methods of communication. I just at first hated voicemail. I did. Because I just thought, I want to talk to the person. I want to talk to them. I've got to get them. And then all of a sudden I thought, when I became a pastor, it's really nice. Because I can call, and if they're there, I can talk to them. And if not, I've made the call. They know I was in touch. That's a great thing. But we also have now, albeit not in my hands, I've heard that some people text. That is their main form of communication, which is poor for me because I don't even have a thing to text with. So how do I communicate with that person? Email, voicemail, things on the computer. There are things that I don't know about that, you know, that are out there. The funny one for me, of course, I wasn't involved, was a teacher friend of mine was talking to the principal at their school, and she said, "Hey, while I've got you, let me tell you about some things." And he said, "Well, just email me." We're right here. I mean, we're 2 feet away. Nah, email me. Well, are we so fast-paced or something we can't communicate person to person anymore? So, the expectation. How is a new person coming in? What is their main mode of communication? Who's going to adjust to who? Well, I'm a texter, and if they want to get a hold of me, they better text me. Ooh, sounds like that's not submitting to one another. Maybe just me, but I think we need to find ways to give and take. And you got one person coming in that's trying to adjust to 100 and some. I defer to the poor person who's got to try to adjust to the many. But I've been in his shoes, so that's why I defer. So how are you going to do that? I mean, what's the expectation? You know, some people expect, when I hear those words, sorry, I can't come to the phone right now. I'll get a hold of you as soon as I can. When it takes over a week, I'm thinking, ooh, they're really busy or I'm not very important. So those kind of things need to be communicated. You know, what expectations are, you know, how to do things. Even somewhat stepping out there and being so bold, it's been a nice compliment that people have indicated they appreciate me trying to get out and visit folks. Wish other pastors had done more of that. Please communicate to your incoming pastor. That is an expectation. That's something people want. Albeit, the only slip that somebody's pulled off a bulletin and said they wanted to visit was Dave Holm from Quakerdale. And that was in jest. So, I mean, I haven't known, and I know I've come at inconvenient times and not good times, you know, and things, but maybe that should be spelled out to someone else as well. You know, how do you want this done, and how can we make it happen? Because I think the success of the marriage is relationships, and at least people being able to talk with each other. I always thought I got away with a lot of stuff, a lot of mediocre stuff, just because I was in touch with people at Honey Creek New Providence. And especially if we stop by some of the ladies of the church, you know, and just had coffee with them or something, they would defend me to the hilt. So, I'd encourage relationships. Encourage talking. Yeah, invite the family over. Be ready for them to invite you over. You know, whatever. But you have to communicate what the expectations are. Otherwise, for instance, the one, I think I've got a couple down here. The one that really got me was early in my pastorate at Honey Creek, New Providence, was that person came to me and said, "Oh, Arlen, I need to tell you, I wish you really would have visited me in the hospital." You were in the hospital? This was a person that was very private about their physical matters, told no one about this. and then felt upset because I wasn't there. Boy, give me a chance to win just a little. You know, maybe on the last day you could, you know, when you're feeling better or something, just a little hint. So that's sort of that submission of one to another. You got to at least allow them a chance to win. Allow them a chance to fail, too. But that was a unique one. Length of message, which I'm going to close real soon. Yeah, you might want to give an idea, you know, what works, what doesn't work. And I have to remember, too, it does depend a little bit upon you. You know, I would come to the greeting of folks at the end, and some people would complain, well, they just didn't give you enough time today. There was too much in open worship. And I think, let's see, I'm supposed to squelch God talking through people so that I can give you my offering of what God said to me. I can edit as I go. You know, I can make it shorter, longer, whatever, but, you know, a person is coming in doing their best, but you got to give them a little guidance, a little expectation, flow with them a little bit. So, you got a wedding coming up. It's pretty neat. It's pretty exciting. You know, new lives coming together, new experiences. So, I pray your honeymoon is 7 years long. I pray that love reigns. I pray that Scripture is upheld and that you submit to one another and keep Christ at the head of this body, this church. May it be for you. Hope it is for me too, wherever I am. Amen.